Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. So just to be upfront about this,
yes.
We are recording this having had seen The Last Jedi.
Yes. We actually had just seen it last night. Well, we're recording this the day after Last Jedi first came out. So here's what we planned, because we figured not everyone has had a chance to watch it.
So we're not going to discuss Last Jedi until at least until the end of this podcast at all.
Right.
So we'll do all the wrestling stuff. You can do all the wrestling
and
stuff.
And even the stuff we're going to talk about at the end of this podcast, it's not even going to be anything spoilery.
No spoilers.
So here's what we have planned, just to give everybody an idea of what we got going on. All right. So this week, we're going to preview
Clash of Champions.
Next week, obviously, we're going to be reviewing Clash of Champions. By that point, we're assuming anybody that wants to see Last Jedi has probably seen it. And even if you haven't, here's your 2-week spoiler warning.
Yes.
If you are spoiled by this podcast, it is your own stupidity.
And we will also put spoiler warning in the podcast 2 weeks from now.
And that's going to be the week between Christmas and New Year's, so we're assuming there's not going to be a whole lot going on anyway.
Right.
So, Star Wars Wrestling Podcast?
So, also, prove us wrong, WWE. Maybe do something interesting.
Honestly, I like that challenge. That's a good... You know what? Here's the thing.
Oh, what's the thing, Chris?
Right? I'm taking your stuff.
Feels
now.
Good, doesn't it?
A little bit. Because usually I don't have a thing. Phrasing. Here's our laying down of the gauntlet. In 2 weeks' time, we will do a Star Wars episode of Class of Ring Attire, unless WWE can do something in that week that is more interesting.
You know what? I'll still say it's a wrestling podcast. You don't have to beat The Last Jedi as far as like interest level, but maybe don't suck.
Yeah.
But anyway, for now,
yes.
The wrestling
is what this podcast is about.
Yes.
So, just interesting thing that I was just mentioning to Joel. There was this guy, I can't think of his name at the moment, but somebody had just posted his Twitter account. And he is a blog writer that also loves wrestling, and apparently he has it on his own good authority, because he talks just like, you know, Falconero or Mets fan on Reddit and stuff. He's got that same kind of, you know, vibe to him. And he has said that in January, next month, Vince McMahon will announce that they're bringing back the XFL. I don't know how credible this dude is, but we'll see, because his source also told him who's going in the Hall of Fame. Do you want me to say who he said, or do you care?
I mean,
who cares? Yeah. Okay. Goldberg, the Dudleys, Bam Bam Bigelow, and I'm blanking on the other ones he mentioned. But obviously the big one that everyone's kind of like, well, where's Undertaker? Undertaker wasn't on the list anywhere, so maybe he's not done wrestling yet. I don't know. So I'm going to follow this dude. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if Vince McMahon comes out next month and be like, XFL's back, then, you know, there's going to be a lot of hat eating going on. But
yeah,
until that time, I'm going to be skeptical.
So, the big takeaway from this story is if you want Chris to talk about your stuff on the show, make up any garbage in the world, and Chris is a giant sucker for that.
It seems like he is part of a blossoming blog. You know, like, he's not the only writer there. They cover a lot of serious topics on there. Uh-huh. And it seems like he's really trying to, like, shoot for the moon here. And he's really trying to claim that his sources are 100% legit. So, you know what? You know, let's see if this happens, and let's see if this is a giant fireball of a mess that backfires on him. You know? Like the guys that said that they're going to make an offer to CM Punk to be in their weird little rumble. And it ultimately backfired, and I don't think they even exist anymore.
I mean, I will say that if you do know that the XFL is coming back and you have that scoop, yeah, you can be the cool person that breaks that.
And he also, like, and then he went on, like, a long tirade of, like, all the dirt sheet people that do, like, radio shows and podcasts and all that stuff and require people to, like, pay money and subscribe for their insider knowledge. And he's like, yeah, they're just fans. You're paying them for their, like, their opinions.
Yeah.
And so I'm just giving this away.
So
it seemed like he had a real axe to grind. So maybe that was part of his reasoning why he's, you know, going out with all this information.
No, no. I will definitely say, you know, basically, if this is something, I will be among the hat eaters.
Sure. Like, now, okay, here's, but a big reason why I bring it up is, as wrestling / football fans, would we want to see another XFL?
Yeah, I'd want to see another. Yep, 100%.
Do we, knowing what we know of Vince McMahon and how hard-headed he is, do we believe he has learned the lessons of the last attempt?
No, not at all.
Right.
But I mean, just the exact same way that I want, I want New Japan to be a credible, you know, not number two, but co-number one kind of thing.
Who does he have commentate?
I don't know. Well, no, that's the thing. Like, just as that, I would like something beyond the NFL.
Sure.
To say I would like something. And this isn't,
I mean, honestly,
and like, okay, quote unquote, real sports is different, where like there should be a best, where there's the Super Bowl, and then there's like other Super Bowl, you know, Extreme Bowl, and then there's two winners. You're like, oh, who won? You're like, no, it's the Super Bowl. Like, you don't get to just be the number one overnight. But if there is something nipping at the heels of the real one, of the number one thing, forcing any kind of like innovation, that's a good thing.
Sure. And, you know, if there was ever a time where, you know, a lot of discontent was felt for the NFL and created, you know, an opportunity for some competition, it's this year. You know, regardless of how you feel about what all has been going on and like the train wreck of a year that it was last year for the NFL, it's kind of opened them up, you know, it's opened up a little bit of a vulnerable spot for them. You know, ratings are kind of going down, and, you know, advertisers are really mad at, you know, NFL for X reasons.
Yeah.
So if there was ever a time for someone to try their hand, it's now. The only problem is, you know, getting talent, getting people that weren't good enough for the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
And you might have, like, one or two players that shine and move, but, you know, they'll go back to the NFL once people have like, oh, this guy can really play. You know, come over to the Carolina Panthers, Rod Smart. You know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's he hate me for those who don't know. and so it's going to take a while for them to establish. And that was one thing with XFL. Like, it seemed like they almost was an immediate failure, you know?
Well, and part of it is, you know, concussions and brain damage and football, you know, injury is a much more prevalent thing now than it was.
Yes.
And so to then advertise, we're doing it, but more violent,
right?
I think is
gonna
go
it's
over.
Going beyond, yeah, it's kind of like everyone's, it's kind of going the opposite direction with, you know, everyone finding out more and more about CTE and all this other stuff. You know, it's, I don't know how it's going to be accepted. Or if it's just like an up, like a straight up and down, like this isn't the NFL, but it's football, you know?
Right.
Or if they have some other rule changes that aren't necessarily violent, but it makes things interesting in some fashion. You know, I'm open for it, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, tune in next month. Cause
to see if this dude's prediction is right.
Chris's uncle works at Nintendo and let him play the Switch Ultra, but he, you know, can't anymore because his other uncle who works at the FBI won't let him anymore.
Okay, if I had an uncle that worked at the FBI or Nintendo, I would be so much better off than I am right now. So we know that's a lie.
Yes, that's the point. It's a lie.
So you can get off your high horse. Anyway, here's where we actually talk about wrestling.
Yes.
We start off this podcast being
Star
like,
Wars football.
So Bitcoin, am I right?
All right. So there was a thing today before we get into the card.
Okay.
There was a match on Raw this week that had a stipulation of It was Kane and Braun Strowman, with the winner being the one that would face Brock at Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
That ended in a nothing, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, it double DQ.
But I assume that's somewhat setting up a Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar.
I mean, a lot of people are now saying that it's going to be a triple threat so that Kane can eat the pin. That way they don't ruin any sort of momentum that Braun's got going on right now.
Right, right.
So
here's my hot take. Hot okay. take's not correct, but like warmed up, like re-microwave take on the issue.
Or your opinion.
Yes.
Go on.
I think, and I could be totally off base here, but I think that you could get Roman over better if you had Roman go over Braun Strowman at WrestleMania than having him go over Brock Lesnar. If you had Strowman beat Brock at the Rumble, carry the title, and then Roman take it off of him at WrestleMania.
Okay. I'm thinking that I'm not so sure about that. Because Braun Strowman's pretty over.
No, he is. He is.
And I feel like in either scenario, if Roman beats Brock or Roman beats Braun at WrestleMania, either way, you're going to get the Roman, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? The Roman effect where, you know, the day after WrestleMania, no one's happy.
Yeah, reaction.
Yeah, no one's happy with what they did with Roman the night before.
Okay, but you know that they're not walking into creative saying, what should we do at WrestleMania? They're walking into creative saying, how do we get Roman cheered at WrestleMania? So if you're creative and you're given that task...
Put him in a match with the Shield.
Okay, but no.
That's the only time he can get...
But your stipulation is it has to go on last and he has to be champion at the end of the night.
Throw it all out the window, put him in a Shield match. I'm sorry, like, I can't accept the premise.
I mean...
If you're telling me that you want to end the show on Roman Reigns... And to win the Universal Championship.
Yes.
And you want to get him cheered. Yes. Those are your three, like, I can't accept that premise.
I mean,
it's not going to happen.
I know that, but you're getting yourself fired at this moment in this hypothetical scenario.
That'll be the hill that I choose to die on.
You've got a wife and 2.3 kids to feed.
Then I'm going to make a ton of money on the shoot interview circuit. Like every other person.
No, you're not. You've been working for 6 months. You don't know anything.
There are people who worked at WB for far less than that and have made a pretty decent living.
Yeah, but they were also wrestlers.
No. I mean, like writers. Like, writers have a very short shelf life.
They do.
In WWE. And they've done pretty well for themselves.
I mean, side note, that's also a problem.
Sure, that, you know, they go through writers so quickly because, you know, of differing opinions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jimmy Jacobs, who was just apparently high. Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
But my point is, I think that the dread of it being Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
Of knowing that they've basically negated this title for a year just to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Of knowing that not only is it, you know, Brock Lesnar, but it's, you know, literally the exact thing that they tried 2 years ago, 3 years ago, with no altercation. And you have the recurring part-timer grumble issue. And you can get rid of all of that if it's Braun Strowman.
Okay.
So I think it is.
So see, that's also the Brock effect. Like, people don't seem to care that he's a part timer and he's never there.
But they care about it literally at WrestleMania when part timers are clogging up, quote unquote, or clogging up the card.
That doesn't seem to affect Brock's reaction from the crowd that much. Not compared to like Goldberg or Cena or whatever. Brock's kind of an exception. people still go nuts for the guy. People are still all about it. Even the cat, even the like the diehard, you know, watch every week, complain all week on the Reddit, you know, those kind of fans, like they still go nuts for Brock. Like Brock, I'm telling you, Brock is the exception. Brock and the Undertaker.
Undertaker wasn't like.
Well, it's kind of starting to wane now, but.
I mean, well, I feel like you go back and there was. You cannot point to a good Undertaker build since CM Punk.
No, you're right.
And like the strongest, you know, thing about the WrestleMania 30 buildup was at least they're not basically wasting a up and comer, a full timer
to eat another Undertaker loss,
right? And so, you know, and then that happened,
right?
But you know, there was nothing good about the Bray Wyatt one.
No.
And then,
but that was mostly just because Undertaker never showed up.
Oh yeah, no, it was not. Mm-hmm. And then you know when you go with Roman, and it was just this like, oh please no, oh please no.
Super Spear didn't help. I still can't get over Super Spear.
And the Shane McMahon one was confusion.
Car crash.
Well, and once they did like, oh it's going in a Hell in a Cell, you're like. Oh, it, you know.
And then it become like, all right, well, now we're just going to sit around and wait for Shane to jump off of it.
Right.
And then he jumped off. He was like, okay, when is this going to end? And it, even that seemed to go on a little too long.
Right. But even just like the build up. Mm-hmm. So while like there is some begrudging respect there, I had a friend a while back, went to New York and went to go see The Late Show back when Dave Letterman was still doing it.
Okay.
And he talked about how funny the comedian that came on beforehand, you know, they have a comedian who never goes on air, but like comes in, just kind of warms up the crowd, mm-hmm. does his bit. You know, and that's a big get for like a up and comer nightclub comedians to get to work that crowd and make those connections. But he talked about like, he was amazed that this, you know, nobody comedian was outperforming Dave Letterman.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, but, you know, you watch TV and you're like, they love Dave Letterman. He's like, that's, you know.
Right.
But it wasn't like that. And you're like, okay, we're not laughing because he's funny. We're laughing because he's Dave Letterman. It's like laughter, respect laughter.
Right.
For, you know, who he once was, who he has been, the legacy that he has laid down.
Sure.
And I feel like there's a lot of that. For respect, Undertaker.
Respect you for Undertaker, yeah.
Where we're like, all right, I'm not going to bash and I'm not going to complain mm-hmm. that he's a part-timer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will respect the Undertaker-WrestleMania connection as a, you know, loyalist wrestling fan and respect the business kind of mm-hmm. thing. But I... And, again, I might be reading this totally wrong, but is anybody really mourning the concept that we're not going to have to go through a build up to a wrestle or Undertaker match this year?
I mean, probably not. I agree. But still, Brock is just an exception. Like, Brock music's hit, especially like even if it was announced and then we know it's just gonna be a nothing segment, mm-hmm. BCF fans are still cheering because at least we get a Heyman, you know, promo or something. You know, and in his matches, you know, we're expecting Brock to just go ham on somebody. So let's all cheer for that. Like, he's just the exception, you know?
Okay.
Because again, out of a lot of the part-timers, Brock is also the one that we know is not going to half-ass it.
Yes.
Like, he's going to hit somebody with all of his force.
But even so, mm-hmm. even taking mm-hmm. that into consideration... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If Brock is that popular and that great mm-hmm. and that universally beloved, mm-hmm. I think that it is safer to put Roman over Braun Strowman after Strowman has beaten Brock Lesnar.
By a little bit, yeah.
And part of that is also because, you know, once Roman beats Brock Lesnar, Lesnar's laying on the mat. Roman's holding up the title. Mm-hmm. That is, you know that Brock Lesnar's going home, going to the farm, maybe going to UFC, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, like, oh, that's the end of this story. this guy is now officially the best one and better than Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Brock Lesnar, your favorite, your hero, is not the good one here. But with Braun Strowman, he's going to be on next week.
Right.
So the story's not over.
Not over, yeah.
And yeah, he'll win through shenanigans or somebody else interfering. And like, you know, it'll be blah-de-blah.
I mean, let's maybe not even for the championship, but Braun and Roman, their WrestleMania match really should have happened last year. To be honest with you. Like, that's where their story, like, could have naturally gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have still had the amazing year that they did against each other, like, kind of off and on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just the way that they handle that, and it just inorganically just drop Braun for, like, a month or so they can have Roman versus Undertaker and then bring him right back.
Well, and part of it is...
Braun wasn't nearly as over as he is now.
No, Braun is a world of difference now as where he was at that time. And so you have these two guys who are... top two guys might not be the right way to say it, but like they get your two biggest reactions, I feel. And part of that is because you force Roman into that role. Mm-hmm. And not so much as you force Roman into that role, but I feel like they kind of cut the feet out of other people like Dean and Seth who could also be in that role.
Sure.
Not intentionally, it's to favor Roman. But if you see these two guys as their top two guys, as they're trading blows, and I'm not going to jump immediately to be like, this is your new Cena and Orton. These are your two fight forevers.
Right.
But you could throw these guys at each other for a feud every other year.
Yeah.
They'd probably be able to handle that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's just, maybe they wouldn't have a strong of a anti-Roman reaction if he's beating Braun and not Brock. But it's almost like they've done too good of a job building Braun for that to really work, you know? Because I feel like they're still going to get an anti-Roman feeling in that scenario.
Honestly, it really should
be Brock versus Braun at WrestleMania.
No, it should.
Yeah, 100%
absolutely
should.
1,000%
it really
should.
Like, if there was anyone that the fans would absolutely like organically get behind that Vince is also big on, it's Braun Strowman. Like, somehow they miraculously did it with him.
Yeah,
you know, and because I still have I'm waiting for the internet to turn on Braun like they do pretty much anybody else. They've turned on Roman, they've turned on Finn, they've turned on Bayley for of all people. I didn't see that one coming. And I'm just waiting for them to turn on Braun because they weren't really in his corner this time last year.
No. Mm-mm.
But, you know, the amazing work he's done, he's pretty much turned just about anyone pro Braun.
Yeah.
So I'm just waiting for the internet to inexplicably turn against him for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know? And it hasn't happened yet, and I'm really surprised.
I mean, my, you know, current fantasy booking WrestleMania is Brock and Braun, and then the Shield doing something.
The Shield versus another formidable three-man team that they hopefully have built up, you know, and not necessarily one that they've slapped together. Because that was a lot of Shield's moments.
It was, and that's
slapped together.
You know. That is a bummer where, like, the Shield doesn't have a WrestleMania moment.
Yeah.
You know,
they really should have done a, like, Raw versus SmackDown angle just for Shield versus New Day at WrestleMania. You know, instead of, you know, I understand, like, Survivor Series, that everything got kind of caught up in that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where that match should have happened, you know?
Yeah. Well, you still have, I mean, it's December. You still have time to build up a credible three-person.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You could honestly start in February, like, and at that point, you're slapping, like, you know, where's
the
three guys?
At that point, you're a little bit into, what was Sheamus's European, Union?
League of Nations?
League of Nations.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, in February, you're a little bit in League of Nations territory.
Well, no, they faced, at WrestleMania 29, it was like, Randy Orton, Sheamus, sure. and Big Show.
Yeah, sure.
It was like, it felt like they just like went in the warehouse like, who do we have the most action figures of? All right, we need to sell those. He's on the card.
Right. Yeah. Sure. But, I mean, they didn't have a team name that I can't really name my scheduling after. Like, yeah. you know, I don't know what March territory is, but February territory, that's about League of Nations. Because League of Nations were a thing at Royal Rumble, so they were together for a while. They just didn't do much with them until New Day.
Like, and I think you could, even if you were, you know, even if you did do that where you're like, all right, who are our three most popular guys who aren't in a story? All right, you're a team now.
Right.
Just so we can have it. You can build that up. You can, you know, it's not.
Or you could build something from it.
You
least.
Can build something from it.
Yeah.
Which
was what, you know, but that's what, you know, KO and Chris Jericho was. Like, that's Sheamus and Cesaro, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It seems random, but somehow it worked.
Yeah.
You know, but they also, they built something from that randomness.
Well, you have Stephanie come out and mm-hmm. say, tonight, you know, the Shield is only as good as its weakest member, and tonight we'll find out the weakest member. You'll each have individual matches.
Sure.
And, you know, like, Dean will interfere in Seth's match to help him out, and so that guy will get retaliation, and da-da-da, and, like, so whoever the three they've gone against, mm-hmm. you know, some end up forming, like, a temporary unity.
Right.
And, like, just make it that. Just make it, like, we're not the best mm-hmm. of friends, but man, we all hate the Shield equally.
Yeah.
So, like, this is our thing to destroy.
And even, like, if they did a Shield triple threat or, you know, something against each other, Roman's still going to be the guy that's going to get booed.
Yeah, he will. But yeah.
You know, so, like, I can't even though it's still a great, you know, thing to use at WrestleMania, even though they just did it at Battleground, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't just. It was a while ago now, but.
But it was within the last year.
Wasn't
I believe it was
who was champion at the time?
I don't remember. I just remembered I believe it was just Battleground,
but it was for a championship, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So it couldn't have been in the past year because it's been Brock the whole time, because they were all on
it
Raw when
been,
it happened.
Yeah,
so it might have honestly been before the brand split.
Maybe still waste of an opportunity.
It was a waste of an opportunity.
Yeah.
But it's been long enough that I feel like it's faded into.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, nerds with podcasts are going to be like, no, actually, the first time they triple threaded, it was at a random battleground.
You're calling me a nerd just because I did that just now. Like, I literally just did that.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think the casual viewer is safe to be like, oh, for the first time ever.
Well, yeah, because WWE likes to forget a lot of their actual first time evers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this has been gone. I think they will work. I think they can pull this wool over the ass.
Right. They can Monday Night Wars it and just rewrite history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that being said, should we dive into the Night of Champions
Yes,
card?
We made it all the way
through. Not a champion. Class of Champions. It's been a year and I am still making that. This is the second year time they've done Class of Champions.
The Clash of Champions.
Yeah. But it's Night of Champions, you guys. It's the same concept.
It is. But
it's just SmackDown.
It's a little weirder because, like, every championship from SmackDown is on the line.
Right. So we've got the kickoff show match, which is the implosion of the Hype Bros. Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley. Is it sad that I thought that they broke up like months ago? Like, I thought that turn had already happened.
Where did it happen?
Like a couple weeks ago.
Like, yeah,
like,
but.
Like 2 weeks ago, yeah.
And it just. Were they doing something that I was missing?
No.
Because, like, I will concede.
They had literally been doing Jack Squat. And they came out to be squashed, and they got squashed, and then Mojo turned on Zach, which was a surprise, because I always thought it was going to be Zach that turned on Mojo.
Yeah.
So, in that aspect, turning Mojo heel is a surprise, but not enough of one to make me care.
Yeah.
But that being said, Mojo's winning.
Yeah.
Like, I still don't know why they picked him to win the Andre last year and did, you know, absolutely.
Well, they picked him because they could get the celebrity.
There you go. Because
the celebrity appearance.
Yeah, if you bring your friend Gronk, we'll let you win.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just have Gronk be his manager from now on.
I would not be surprised if there is an email with those exact words in them.
wait until Gronk gets injured again, because it'll happen. He gets injured like every 3 weeks. Wait till he gets injured and like gets put on IR, and then have him just be his manager. Yeah, he'll be unstoppable. But anyway, are you picking Mojo as well?
Okay.
We got Breezango versus the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, Breezango, what's up?
I'm going Bludgeon Brothers. I mean, if they come out and do like that same type of match that they did with Usos back in, I believe it was Backlash,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, Tyler Breeze came out and did the whole janitor thing.
Yeah.
I'll be thoroughly entertained, but they're losing.
Yeah.
It's, and I know it's so cheesy, like the whole Bludgeon Brothers things, but I really like their music. Like, I think it hit me when they came out during Starrcade. Just hearing it live and seeing them live, like, yeah, I'm in. It's cheesy as all get out, and they're the same characters, but they just wear different clothes, you know?
All right.
It's like the line from Twisted. He's like, oh, it's Aladdin. Like, how'd you know it's me? He's like, you're just wearing different clothes. Of course it's you. So, yeah, Bludgeon Brothers are winning. Then you've got probably, maybe not the main event, but I don't know. Randy Orton versus Nakamura, or Randy Orton Nakamura versus Owens and Zayn. If Owens and Zayn lose, they will be fired from WWE. And then you got two special guest referees with Dana Bryan and Shane McMahon.
Daniel
Bryan heel turn? If they could possibly pull that off?
No. That's not how that works.
Because, again, we thought that there would be no way that they could turn Shawn Michaels heel, and then they put him up against Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And somehow it happened. And we never thought that Ric Flair would get booed.
Okay. But I was wrong to underestimate Ric Flair's ability to get booed.
Sure.
That was a failing on my part.
Sure.
I take ownership. I take responsibility for thinking that if Ric Flair wanted to get some booze, he couldn't get some booze.
And with Shawn Michaels, it was just like, yeah, no one touches Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Like, no one messes with his match. No one screws him over. How dare you?
But
you
that's know? The thing is, like, we push the unturnable Shawn Michaels up against him.
Yeah.
And when we did, that was a, you know, unstoppable force, immovable object.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the thing that happens is Shawn Michaels turns heel.
Yeah. So now you take that guy.
Yeah.
Who somehow found a way to turn Shawn Michaels heel. How do you turn that guy?
No. He's not turning heel.
No.
He is too doof looking to like.
Unless he's actually coming back in the ring. I don't think there's any way. Even if he does come back in the ring, like no one's gonna boo that.
No, people are too excited for that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have, why would you have two special guest referees if you're not planning to have a miscommunication between the two special guest referees?
Sure. And stuff like this, like actually getting Daniel Bryan like involved in a match in some mm-hmm. capacity is making me think that they're leaning more and more towards clearing him to wrestle.
Oh, I think they will.
Yeah.
The more that I think about it, the more I'm like, no, it'll be, you know, that is just, mm-hmm. That's so much money on the table.
Yeah. So much money on the table, and, you know, Daniel Bryan is coming up with actual, like, tangible evidence that, you know, he's good to go, mm-hmm. and there's not really anything saying otherwise, except for WWE's one doctor that they yep. trust,
mm-hmm.
which seems kind of annoying right now.
I know.
Because, like, literally everyone else who are, like, specialists and people who, dare I say, know more than their doctors
yeah.
are saying he's fine.
Yep.
But the person who doesn't necessarily know as much as they do.
It's like, on one hand, that is a very honorable, noble thing
sure.
to be like, this doctor who I trust he's says no.
Standing up.
I yeah. will not just bathe in money for a year by putting you in a WrestleMania match because this doctor said no. But on the other hand, you're like, but I want them to bathe in money because I want to give them that money.
Right. And again, but for me, it's like, I have a feeling these other doctors that Daniel Bryan has been talking to and doing tests with and doing treatments and research with, I have a feeling they might know a little bit more than WWE's doctor, you know?
I mean, in all fairness, I don't know these people Daniel Bryan sure. talking
right.
about.
Yeah.
I have Daniel Bryan's word that they're experts.
Right.
Daniel Bryan's also a giant hippie. So right. they might have, you know, rubbed some bumblebee wax on him. And then he's right. like, oh, you're fine, buddy. Yeah. And he's like, okay.
Sure. And I know a big part of this comes from my Daniel Bryan bias. I yeah. understand mm-hmm. that. But I have a feeling like if they had no inkling that he would be able to be cleared medically, I don't think they would even have him in the ring or be involved. Because, like, again, like, he's already gotten in the ring and when he made himself the referee at the end of the match, at the end of SmackDown this week.
Right. Well, so we're in this very interesting predicament mm-hmm. where I'm sitting here going, like, why would you even tease it if you're not doing
right.
it?
Right.
Like, that's such a bad yeah. idea to tease and then...
Tease something that you can never deliver on.
Right. But this is the same company that put him in... The Royal Rumble at like number 10 to get him out quick.
Get him out.
Be like, this'll fix that.
Right. And made sure that he retired, what, last year? Yeah. Made sure he retired last year before the Rumble so everyone knew he wasn't going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no reason to boo Roman, right?
So, all right, next match.
Did we pick a winner?
Oh, I mean, I'm picking the one. The
KO and Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
I'm hoping against hope that some shenanigans go down, somebody accidentally hits Daniel Bryan or whatever, Daniel Bryan goes off, and that's what starts him coming back.
Hope against hope.
Hope against hope. Not saying it's going to happen, but there's a chance. So KO and Sami Zayn wins.
Mm-hmm.
Got the Fatal 4-Way Tag Match for the championship. Usos, New Day, Benjamin and Gable, Rusev, and Aiden English.
New Day?
I mean, I'm not really comfortable saying anyone that's not Usos and New Day.
Yeah.
One or the other. Just to be different, I'm just going to say Usos retain.
That's fine.
You know?
I mean, I'm picking New Day because, like, I'm still in that default, like, oh, New Day's in it. New
right.
Day's
in it. Yeah, and that's a hard thing to break out of.
I do think there's a very good chance that the New Day are going to get to 5-time champs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where they're going to sit.
Yeah.
Just because of the 5-time.
Yeah.
And it'll sound good when Big E says it.
Yeah.
So, what are they at right now? Are they at 3 or 4? They're at 4, aren't they?
I believe they're at 4, yeah.
Okay.
I could be wrong there, but yeah, I believe they're at 4. I'm trying to replay the intro, and it's all kind of blending together.
Yeah.
Now we've got the Lumberjack match for the Women's Championship, Charlotte versus Natalya.
Charlotte.
I'm saying, yeah, the Lumberjack thing kind of opens it up to a little bit of shenanigans, which would kind of give things in Natalya's favor.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they can all just do the face thing and, you know, call Natalya out when she tries to do some underhanded stuff or whatever. But Charlotte, and I'm really hoping this is the end of their feud, because... Last time they were in Greensboro, it was on Monday Night Raw, and guess what feud Charlotte was in at the time? It was Natalya on Raw, and even that felt too long, and that was 2 years ago, I want to say?
Yeah.
Here we are 2 years later, they're on a different show with a different championship, and they're feuding again. Like,
it is in all fairness, a different feud. They didn't go...
Sure, they haven't gone 2 straight years, but man, it feels like it sometimes.
So... Part of the issue is they were so good together in NXT.
Yes.
They had an incredible feud in NXT. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be like, oh, it's because their dads were there.
No.
Or not even their dads. No, what's
dad and uncle.
Uncle, yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want to say that they're trying to like constantly, you know, rekindle that magic. But it's kind of hard to do that when you're facing off against each other like every week. You know, yeah. Like,
well, and part of it,
flooding the market, you know,
part of why I'm okay with this against my better judgment is I really like Natalya. I think Natalya is very talented. I think she is genuinely underutilized
mm-hmm.
because for some reason she gets terrible gimmicks.
She gets terrible gimmicks and she's not great on the mic.
I
can't stand it when she's talking.
She's not great on the mic. She's not terrible. Okay, but she's not terrible in a genuine, like, we're both going to try hard, but I'm going to win because I'm better, like, straight. But she...
There's just, I don't know, even when she's a face, it doesn't matter. Like, there's something just so, I can't put my finger on it, but there's something just so disingenuous about her. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but there's something that I'm not believing.
Yeah.
You know? And it doesn't matter if she's a face or a heel. Like, I just can't.
Well, she only gets credible matches against Charlotte.
Yeah.
Like, once the Charlotte thing's over, I'm half expecting, you know, the fart gimmick or something.
Or just not even equivalent to come up. On TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of okay with it, to be honest with you.
So.
But
that's why I'm like sitting here still being like, okay, because like this is the only thing that Natalya gets to be talented in.
Yeah.
Is when she's fighting Charlotte.
You got the United States Championship, Baron Corbin, Bobby Roode, and Dolph Ziggler. I'm gonna say Bobby.
I was gonna say Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, again, you can have, because why else would he be there? You can have Dolph Ziggler eat the pin.
Yeah.
So Baron Corbin doesn't, you know, lose his precious momentum, even though I'm guessing he's out of I'm guessing he's finally out of the doghouse. But yeah. I don't care. I don't care about anything involved in this.
I would like that glorious intro to involve a title. That will look nice around his waist.
I mean, yeah,
it
worked well for him in NXT.
Yeah, exactly.
But he was also a more interesting character in NXT. Like, on SmackDown, he's just a good guy with an entrance.
Yeah.
You know, in a word, you know.
Okay. Yes, but who's take a left turn from this for a second. Who's the best character on SmackDown?
Kevin Owens.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And who else? Cause I'm gonna go ahead and say Sami Zayn.
Well, sure. I mean by proximity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the biggest drop off in the world for your next one.
Yeah.
So Kevin Owens is the exception to this rule.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go ahead and put that. But nobody has the depth of their NXT character.
No. God, no. Yeah.
It is just, there's such a,
for whatever reason, yeah,
there's such a drop in depth of character.
Yeah.
And it's like, is it less time on the mic? Because that doesn't feel right, because it's longer shows.
Yeah.
Is it more control from the backstage that doesn't need to be there?
Yeah.
Which maybe,
or it could be like a too many cooks, you know, trying to cut away too much fat or something like that.
But I feel like just by law of average, okay, there's some people who are brilliant because somebody backstage worked hard, sculpted a character, gave it to you, and you're good at memorizing lines. But like, just law of averages, some of them should be good at going out there and being able to play their character with this same level of depth.
You know what would help with that? Talking smack.
Yes, talking smack would help with that.
It added a lot of depth to a lot of characters because it was just a talking segment.
Yeah.
And there's no other time in any of these wrestling shows where people will accept a 20-30 minute talking segment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that happens like on Raw or on SmackDown, you've got, you know, the internet who's wanting to burn everything down because of this long talking segment. But on Talking Smack, where it was like, it's dedicated to that.
Yeah.
Everyone loved it.
No, absolutely. That's an excellent point.
I'm just saying, like, if you want more depth on SmackDown or on Raw.
Well, part of it is the, you know, traditional, you know, taking of all the talent from SmackDown that's working, because you do have it on Raw. Cena, but like, what are their names? Seth and Dean.
Yeah,
both have depth of character. The Miz has depth of character.
Right.
Roman has depth of character. Like, you know, not as much as others, but
you know why SmackDown doesn't?
Because
Raw takes them all.
That's what I said. That's what I meant. It's like, they
cherry pick all the characters that are more well rounded. And give SmackDown Kevin Owens, which is a huge get.
It is a huge get.
But the entire show isn't built on one person.
But on SmackDown, he is the exception to the rule as the person who has maintained. And honestly,
I mean, that would be fixed if Daniel Bryan got back in the ring.
In all honesty, he had more depth on NXT. Like, he's not maintained. He's retained more than the average person.
Right.
But he is still become
a... Which is impressive, because he wasn't in NXT for very long.
No.
Compared to most people.
But NXT, he had this great, you know, mission of like, this is my job, this is what I'm good at, mm-hmm. I have no passion for... He was Brock Lesnar, mm-hmm. but he was like, you know, but this is why I'm going for a title shot, this is why I'm demanding it, just because title shot fights are worth more money, you know, champions
yeah.
make more money. And a lot of that has gone away into, I want this because I want to be the best because I am the best.
Right.
And again, he's done a lot better than your average, but he still, but it's still doesn't have the
somewhat,
depth.
Somewhat watered down compared yeah. to NXT, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just, maybe NXT just has a better storytelling mechanism, you know, compared to these other shows. And again, and they do that with an hour, 2 hours less time than the main shows do.
Yeah.
Which is impressive. But that shows, like, just how inefficient Raw and SmackDown are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you've got all these characters on NXT that aren't on week to week. They kind of have a rotation, like, because that's what they have to do with that short of a
episode. Well, it's basically they, you know, have one, maybe two episodes a month, and they're just split into thirds.
Right. But the fact that they're able to pull that off every week and have all these characters that you believe in and have that depth that you're wanting, the fact that they're able to pull that off on an hour show every week, like, it just shows just the inefficiency.
Yeah.
Of the main shows.
And this, and again, this is just a hypothesis mm-hmm. as to why that could be. And I think part of it, though, is that NXT doesn't sell the takeovers like Raw and SmackDown sell the pay-per-views.
Yeah, so in that aspect, they've got more time to build.
Well, and they, yeah, just on the show mm-hmm. is a lot more dedicated to building these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the network, if you're watching NXT, you have the network, so you yeah. already have the network to watch TakeOver. So TakeOver is just the big episode.
Right.
So much of Raw and SmackDown are advertisements for what's going to happen. They
right.
So there's a lot more, I feel like, saving your big matches.
Right.
There's a lot more having to put mm-hmm. all the information into your promo, whereas an NXT promo is, I'm going to get you because I hate you for X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Raw is, I'm going to get you because mm-hmm. I hate you, and I will be also getting you on Clash of Champions at this right. time and date, and
whereas,
buy that for $9.99.
You know, whereas with NXT, you know, you've got such a long period of time between takeovers that you'll have a few episodes where, like, the next takeover isn't even mentioned, you know, mm-hmm. and that just seems unthinkable when you're talking about Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's one of the good things that's coming out of, you know, far less pay-per-views happening next year. Because you're gonna have periods of time where Raw hasn't had a pay-per-view in almost 2 months, mm-hmm. and same with SmackDown, or they rotate or whatever. So maybe that'll help.
I hope so.
We get a really long 8-week build to a pay-per-view, which honestly, that happens for WrestleMania, and even that is kind of it feels like work. It feels like a marathon.
Yeah,
you know, it feels like you're wearing with the audience out on it.
Maybe, like, I'm okay with the WrestleMania one,
right?
And
that's the only time that we're willing to put up with it.
Yeah,
you know.
But I need, and maybe it's because I came back in during WrestleMania season.
Sure.
And so, like, and I remember doing that because I did not know, like, I could not have told you, if you asked me during my off time, like, when is WrestleMania during the calendar year? I couldn't have told you. I didn't
yeah.
have that much awareness watching wrestling as a kid as to, like, oh, there's, like, a pattern, and, like, it comes out in the spring, da-da-da-da.
Right.
So when I came back, and it was like, oh, how lucky I am to be in WrestleMania season. It was, like, the week after the Rumble. So, like, it was the full WrestleMania season. But I still felt like I was fortunate enough to have fallen back into it.
Yeah.
During the tiny bit of calendar time that was WrestleMania season, because yeah. little did I know it was like a huge chunk of it.
It's a huge fraction of the year.
Yeah. And there was like such a big turnaround from like Extreme Rules in 3 weeks. What's going on?
Right. Like they just had the biggest event. Now you're telling me that they're having another biggest event ever? Yeah. So moving on, that leaves us to the WWE Championship match, Jinder Mahal.
Nakamura.
I wish. Jinder Mahal versus AJ. Dear God, I'm hoping AJ retains because I don't want to go back to Jinder. I really hope this is the end of Jinder Mahal in the main event scene.
Yeah.
It needs to be the end.
Yeah.
We need a break. We need a break from Jinder. If he could go the way of like Kurt Hawkins and like not be on TV for a few weeks, I'd be okay with that. if that was ever a gimmick that I wanted to get lost in the shuffle, there it is right there.
Jinder Mahal is one of the rare cases where like being champion has hurt him more than helped him.
Yeah. In the chase, it was so weird and interesting,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then when he won it, it was still weird, but it was interesting. Like, what are they going to do next? And then when we found out what they're going to do next, we're like, no.
Oh, no, that's not what I wanted.
No. And then it just has gotten worse and worse and worse. Then, like, oh, okay, well, maybe he'll do better in, like, the next feud as champion. He's like, oh, it's racist now. Oh, that's, oh,
well,
that's
and
worse.
And it just became every match was like, please, please win.
Yeah.
Please
somebody take this belt off of Jinder. Like, please yep. end this now. And I'm hoping that's what this is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, just you want me to. I'm not enjoying this feud. I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
I'm stressed out that we're still this close to him being champion again.
Yeah. But I understand that they need to tie up the loose end.
And I get that.
And I'm hoping that's what this match is.
And it would be very hypocritical of me to, you know, talk about, hey, just drop the... As much as I've complained...
Of them forgetting, about, like, rematches and everything, yeah.
About just when the rematch clause is inconvenient, forgetting
about it.
It's
like, we want you to remember Finn Balor's rematch clause or whatever, or whatever rematch he gets, but completely forget Jinder's, you know? We're biased towards the ones that we enjoy. That's part of wrestling, you know.
Technically, The Rock still has a rematch clause from WrestleMania 29.
Yeah.
That we should be waiting on him to cash in.
Any day now.
So, that being said.
AJ versus The Rock at WrestleMania.
When The Rock randomly comes back in and is immediately given a title shot and everybody's complaining about that, The Rock technically has a rematch clause.
Here's how I would call BS on it. If he comes in and automatically gets a Universal Championship opportunity. It's like, no, that's not the one he got the rematch for.
He has the rematch.
It's the other one. Put that man on SmackDown. It's his show. It's his catchphrase.
Gosh,
put him on.
He should be on SmackDown. That
right?
I would just put some fire under SmackDown.
Right? Yeah, Again, it would be a good time, you know?
Just a four-week run. Jumanji's coming out. Like, he's got something.
But the guy is just so... It's the same problem with, like, Batista. Like... I know that a lot of rumors are saying that, oh, he's had meetings or he's talked to Vince or he's trying to come back or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know how much I believe in that. The guy is so busy. He's signed on to, like, every movie under the sun, you know. And we haven't even gotten to, you know, the two Avengers movies he's in and the next Guardians movie.
Well, I think he's in Avengers, Guardians over the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Plus, he is headlining a new IP.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what it was.
I don't either. But yeah, the guy is in so much stuff that I can't keep track of it anymore.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, no, amazing for him. You know, and Rock is, you know, about 10 times more busy.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, That's it for wrestling.
Okay, so...
Again, if you want... So we're going to talk about Last Jedi very vaguely, very
briefly.
Very
vaguely, not really going to touch on... Not going to touch on spoilers or anything.
If you want to go in... With the coldest possible turkey.
Then the only thing that I will plug is go follow our Twitter.
Yes.
@CRAtar. Okay. So, just in general, Last Jedi. How did you
feel?
I loved it.
Okay.
I thought it was really good. I felt it felt to me like a more of an original movie compared to Force Awakens. Not saying I hated Force Awakens, because... I believe Force Awakens was the movie that it needed to be to get everyone back on board. Now, there's going to be like the fans like us who we're going to be on board regardless, you know, but to get everyone, which seemingly like the entire world watched that movie. You saw the box office numbers, you know, that movie was what it needed to be to get everyone on board, you know, but this was like a good, like, all right, we're back.
Yeah.
Now let's take it this direction and make it interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
I have decided.
Okay.
I am watching this movie. I am not emotionally equipped as a person to handle watching a Star Wars movie for the first time.
Okay.
Just, I don't have that emotional capacity to be able to experience
that. But that's the problem. You're a Star Wars fan and you have like to watch it. Like a rational person. Yeah. It's like, what are you going to do, not watch it?
The long time ago comes up, the, you know, Star Wars John Williams, and then like episode 8 starts the crawl, and it hit me just as hard as seeing that episode 7. I'm like, this is it, and this is the real, and I'm like,
yeah, no, absolutely. Because again, like I was telling Joel, I was in these motion seats, and it's the first time I've ever been in those. I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. When they told me the motion seats, they're like, okay, so there's like buttons on the side, they're like, oh, I can lean back or lean forward or something like that. No, it's like an actual like simulator type ride. So the big spot hits Star Wars, all the chairs go whoo, like back really quickly. I'm like, what have I gotten myself into? So that was my first thought. So that kind of helped me like kind of get distracted a little bit. But then I saw the crawl. And I'm like, oh, this is real. This is a new Star Wars movie. Yep. And you had that little twinge of like, because I remember that moment in Force Awakens, because I was sitting right next to you, and you're just like, oh man, this feels too real.
Yeah.
You know? And it's almost, and that's why I'm glad, like, 9 times out of 10, when the scroll ends, it's usually just space.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gives you a moment to come like, okay, all right, let's go. And then, of course, they have this big space action sequence. Again, not spoiling anything, but you dive right in,
yeah,
to the like the main story at that point. So you're just not emotionally equipped to deal.
I mean, I can say I'm a thumbs up, thumbs down scale, thumb way up.
Yes,
on a 5-star scale, 5 stars.
Yeah,
like I can give you that, but like
I still don't want to get into like ranking it amongst Star Wars movies yet.
I can't do that.
I've got to give it time, and I got to see it again, and I'm seeing it again tomorrow, actually. So.
No, I need several reviewings. I need a viewing in a marathon setting to like
be able to never
see how 7 feeds into 8 and how 8 will feed into 9. Yeah.
And that's the problem with like social media and everything. Like a lot of my friends, I'm their one other Star Wars fan friend that they've got.
Yeah.
And they all knew when I was watching the movie. So as soon as I got out, everyone's asking me like, what did you think? And I'm like, I am not ready for that question yet.
Mm-mm.
You know? Like, if you... Pretty much, I'm the type of person, like, if you ask me any question about how I feel about a movie that's in a franchise that I am already in on, if you ask me the moment after, I was like, it's the best one ever. You know? Because that's how I am. You're not really going to get a true answer out of me until, like, way down the line.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So, I'm not sure I'm ready to quantify where Force Awakens is yet.
No, I...
So, like, you can't even pretend to ask me about Last Jedi.
Because, like I said, like, I recognize Force Awakens' faults.
No faults.
I understand...
Perfect movie.
Okay. I understand, like, its ups and its downs. But, like I said, I know the purpose that movie was... You know, and again, it's easier to see that purpose now that we've seen 8. You know, but I know what that movie's purpose is now, and I appreciate it because I feel like it executed its purpose, you know, about as well as any movies, you know, has done that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to, you know, crap on Force Awakens or anything.
No.
But out of the two of the new trilogy, I'm leaning towards 8.
Well, it's very interesting because, like, having seen some initial reaction, and there's like, all right, I'm going to have to start defending something.
Right.
And it's Force Awakens or Last Jedi, and it might be both.
Right.
And that's the thing, is like, being being a fan of the prequels and being a constant defender of the prequels,
right,
I would have several times where I'd be talking about, you know, like, I actually really like the prequels, and here's X, Y, and Z, what the prequels did really good.
Yeah.
And you come across somebody who, like, they're like, you know, I'm weird, but I like the prequels too. And I'm like, yeah, we're good. And like, people are like, yeah, I like the prequels. Yeah, they just, you know, they finally did something good where those first ones didn't really do anything. Right. I'm like, what?
Right.
You're kind of like, wait a second.
It's like, you can be a Star Wars fan and like all of it. It's
now,
okay.
Now you suck again. Like, now I have to fight you again.
You don't have to choose one or the other. Like, you don't have to choose Force Awakens or Last Jedi. But for some people that they just... They have to have a preference, and they have to, those preferences have to be very strongly one way, and then the other one has to be very strongly the opposite way. It doesn't have to be like that, people.
Yes. I'll have a lot more detail in the 2 weeks when I assume we're going to be going a little bit more into detail then. I'll have seen it 2 or 3 more times, so it'll start to, like, fit into stuff better.
And again, like, I mentioned this in our message thread, but I'm very, I'm suspicious of people that hated 8.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going in and you're expecting and wanting and slight and, you know, slash demanding another, you know, nostalgia film, this isn't for you. You know, it's Force Awakens really played into the nostalgia. You know,
well, it is for you because it's for everybody because it's Star Wars and it's the best.
Well, yeah,
just
but I'm
get on board.
Right. That's the thing. That's more of that person's issue, not Star Wars. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like a lot of the complaints have been just people who just weren't expecting that type of movie and won't accept that it's a good movie, even though it's not what you wanted or not what you expected. Like, it's not a Star Wars issue. It's a you issue.
Yeah.
You know? But I fully agree. Like, if you just open, you know, your thoughts and feelings about it, then I feel like you enjoy it way more. You know? I know it's hard to go into movies as a blank slate, you know, as a bias-wise. Because, again, we're very, very much Star Wars fans, so we're going to be a little bit biased. I'm also, like, always been rarely, really, like, in the tank for Rian Johnson, so I'm even more biased, you know. So take it with a grain of salt, blah, 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 blah. But even all that aside, God, this is a fun movie.
It was a good movie. Yeah.
So there, if you're on the fence of watching it, what's wrong with you?
What weird ass fence are you on?
Yeah, like that's a weird fence. Like, oh my God. Like I maybe that's my thing. Like, as I said, I was suspicious of people that are saying that they hated Last Jedi. Not dislike, they are saying that they hate it. I'm suspicious of them, and I'm suspicious of people who just don't like Star Wars. You know what I'm saying? Like how? Like, like
suspicious.
How? Like, what? I don't want to ask what's wrong with you, but like, what's wrong with you? Like, there's something that's not clicking.
But if you're worried about a pod people invasion, I know who to look at first.
What? Oh, for the, okay. Yeah. I thought you were aiming that at me. I'm like, what? Okay. No. I'm with you. I'm sorry.
All right, anything else?
That is it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Ciara Tire, where we live tweet when it's appropriate to live tweet.
Absolutely. And if you have any questions, comments, if you want to send us your Force Awakens thoughts, send that all to our...
Also,
not Force Awakens,
if you want to send
Jedi.
Us our Last Jedi thoughts, you're free to do that. If you're still peeved about some Return of the Jedi stuff that's just been steaming
since
1983...
If you want to just send us Star Wars things...
We'll accept those, too.
Star Wars things at whatever. That's our email.
You gotta give him the email. That's the part.
That's what I was getting to, but you interrupted me.
Just throw it into the wind.
If you send a Star Trek thing, it's gonna go straight into our spam box. But send all your Star Wars thoughts and wrestling thoughts to classyringattire@gmail.com. I had to slow down.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.